This hour is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
We went to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people, and then finally the new generation would never know what
happened. I'm a member of the American Indian Movement, and I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
Buju, everybody. My name is Peggy Flanagan. Guabagani Gadikam Ndujaba. I'm from the White Earth Nation, and my family's the Wolf Clan.
There's trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
That the American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. I thank you.
But what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We are here, we will stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere. We're rich.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Ahu, Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunjahade, Hingadena.
Hey, on today's show, we have Tim Pardon of Robbins Kaplan, House Representative Mary Kunish Podine, Dr. Jane Sanders, Bernie Sanders' significant other, and Ruth Buffalo. Also, the second hour, we have Wendy Pilot, Nancy Bolio of MN350, Governor Tim Walz, Peggy Flanagan, Lieutenant Governor, and Sheila Lamb. So let's get started right away with this long and exciting show. We have Tim Pardon of Robbins Kaplan, and welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thanks for having me on.
So, Tim, can you just give an overview of what you guys do before we get into this exciting news that came up this week?
Yeah, so I'm the co-chair of the American Indian Law and Practice Group at Robbins Kaplan. My partner, Brendan Johnson, and I, Brendan is located in Sioux Falls, and my office is at Bismarck, North Dakota. We represent American Indian tribes and Native people across the country in a variety of issues. We're involved in opioid cases. We do work here in North Dakota on a number of issues. And we're here today to talk about an exciting case we've been working on for the last 18 months since the 2018 election, trying to protect tribal voting rights here in North Dakota in response to the voter ID legislation that was passed by the North Dakota legislature. This is a case and a project that our firm, Robbins Kaplan, took on pro bono on behalf of the Spirit Lake Tribe and the Standing Rock Tribe and been working on for the last 18 months.
Well, that's totally exciting, and the news that came out this week is the agreement in principle about this. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and maybe the process of what you guys have been doing the last 2 years?
Absolutely. Well, and it starts even before that. The original law that was challenged here was passed in response to the 2012 U.S. Senate election that Heidi Heitkamp won by a narrow margin, and she had been propelled in that case in 2012 by Native voters. She'd won the reservations and ended up winning the Senate seat. In response, there were voter ID laws passed by the North Dakota legislature, and there was a long series of litigations led by the Native American Rights Fund, the great lawyers at NARF, on behalf of some folks up at the Turtle Mountain Reservation who had been denied the right to vote in 2014. And that lawsuit went on, they won. The federal judge in North Dakota kept putting injunctions in, saying the state of North Dakota could not implement this restrictive voter ID policy. But in the build-up to the 2018 election, which was Heidi Heitkamp's re-election campaign, it was very hotly contested as well. In the build-up to that election in that summer of 2018, the federal judge here in Bismarck actually got reversed by the Court of Appeals, and it looked like that 2018 election was going to take place under the voter ID law. That's when our lawsuit started. We stepped in on behalf of the Spirit Lake Tribe. Standing Rock Tribe joined us later. We stepped in early on behalf of the Spirit Lake Tribe, tried to get that law enjoined and prevented from taking effect for the 2018 election. We were not successful. The judge did not enter an injunction. But the lawsuit did go on. It's been pending now for about 18 months. And we did settle it last week. I'm happy to talk a little bit about some of the good things that come out of that settlement.
Awesome. Let's do it. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So we, the judge in our case, set the trial about a month ago. He gave us a trial date in May, which really is a short trial date, a short lead up to trial. And that really put a lot of pressure, I think, on the state of North Dakota to come to the bargaining table. So last week, or I guess it's 2 weeks ago now, we had a full day mediation at the state capitol. We had members of the Spirit Lake Council were there, and we started at 9 in the morning. We didn't end until almost 10 o'clock at night trying to get this resolved, and we didn't quite get there. We negotiated through the weekend and into last week, and we did announce jointly with the Secretary of State, the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, and the Spirit Lake Nation. We did announce an agreement in principle to settle this. And the bottom line for listeners is that if this settlement does get finalized, it still needs to be formally approved by the, of course, by the tribal councils mm-hmm. at Spirit Lake and at Standing Rock. And if and when it is approved, it's simply going to make it easier for Native Americans in North Dakota to vote in 2020. And that's our goal.
Right.
And we're real happy that we were able to get some concessions out of the state. They've backed off on some of the ways that they've interpreted the law, and we're looking forward to making it easier for people to vote.
That's so awesome, and keep diligent on that, because it seems like people are falling off the voting lists all the time here across the country, and so I really appreciate that. Hey, can you just, before we get back into a little more, can you just tell our audience how you and your partner came about to work with Robbins Kaplan? Because I think that's a great story that needs to be brought up.
Yeah, so Brendan Johnson, my partner in South Dakota, my law partner, and myself, we both served as United States attorneys under President Obama. And we were appointed by the president, or the chief law enforcement, federal law enforcement officer, in Brendan in South Dakota, and me in North Dakota. And we got to be pretty good friends. And in those roles, obviously, there's, you know, we have 14 tribes between the two states that we were working with every day. That was our top priority, was trying to improve the Department of Justice's record in terms of public safety on the reservations. And we had a lot of support from the top levels at the Department of Justice. Attorney General Holder was a big supporter of our efforts in that regard. And after working with tribal communities and with each other for about 5 years, when we decided it was time to leave the Department of Justice, we decided we wanted to practice together. And we looked around for a law firm that would let us build a practice representing tribes. And frankly, Robert, let us do pro bono cases like the one we're talking about. And mm-hmm. there aren't that many big law firms that have sort of that ethos, that tradition of sort of fighting for the underdog and a robust pro bono program. Robbins fit the bill, and so they hired us. We were lucky that they were willing to take us on and take an experiment. And they didn't have offices in the Dakotas, right? It was kind mm-hmm. of an experiment, and
right. They
were willing to take a bet on us. And 5 years later, you know, we've been successful. We built an Indian country practice that we're really, really proud of. We've got great tribal clients all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a platform to do pro bono cases for tribal governments, like this voting rights case. And it's just been a really rewarding journey over the last 5 years.
Yeah, it's really, really important work. And I don't know if it was you or your partner, but he told like an intense story that he was at a gathering, a Native gathering, and somebody pointed out one out of three. Was that your story?
Yeah. When I was, you know, when I joined the Department of Justice, one of the first meetings I had was Attorney General Holder, and we talked about the need to have the department work harder to do its job and carry out its responsibilities for public safety on reservation communities where we had, in some states like North Dakota, where the feds have primary jurisdiction over violent crimes. And he talked about the Amnesty International report that said that one in three Native women will experience rape or sexual assault in their lifetime, and that's a much higher statistic than it is for the population as a whole. And every time I go to a powwow now, mm-hmm. and I look at the Native the jingle dancers come out, the young Native girls, and you look at those beautiful young girls, and I have a daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this hits very close to me. I look and I say, well, look, you know, there's three jingle dancers there. Why is it acceptable? Why are we willing to accept a statistic that one in three of them are going to face sexual assault in their lifetime? We have to do better. And that really drove us during our time at the U.S. Attorney's Office to try and do more. And you know, it's not like we solved the problem. These problems are hundreds of years in the making. But I feel like in the Obama administration under Attorney General Holder, we did make progress with the Violence Against Women Act and the Tribal Law and Order Act and restoring tribal jurisdiction over crimes of violence. Those sorts of things were some important first steps on a long journey.
Right. And I think that's why it's really important what Robbins Kaplan and yourself and your partner are doing, because it's just to keep that trajectory, you know, in the right way. You know, we had, I thought of that story because we had our murdered missing indigenous march this past Valentine's Day, this past Friday. Very important politicians, but also there was a point where people had the opportunity to yell out people's names of missing relatives, and it was just super powerful. So, yet, you know, we need allies like you.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. The missing and murdered Indigenous women movement, the attention that's been brought to that issue over the last, over the last 3 or 4 years by advocates like yourself and others is really important. It is part of that challenge. I mean, when you think about public safety on the reservation, you know, there are three things that jump out at me that did need and still do need a lot of attention, right? Domestic violence. It's rape and sexual assault, and then it's this terrible phenomenon of missing women, and all three of those, it's all Native women, right? It's all the risk that they face, and much of it, so much of it, too much of it, comes from this jurisdictional patchwork where we don't have. It's not clear. Does the state have jurisdiction? Does the tribe have jurisdiction? Do the feds have jurisdiction? And no other community and no other group of women find themselves in such a maze of injustice, as Amnesty International called it, a maze of injustice when it comes to making sure they're safe. And we just need to do better as a country. We need additional legislation along the lines of the Violence Against Women Act. Well, for starters, right now, Congress needs to reenact the Violence Against Women Act and make sure that those restored tribal jurisdictions over non-Native offenders who commit domestic violence on the reservation stay in place. But we need to do more. It would not be acceptable if my wife, my mom, my daughter faced those odds here in Bismarck. There'd be a public outcry, and that's what we need to see when it comes to these statistics for Native women on the reservation. There needs to be more work done. There's no question about that.
Well, again, and I want to thank you personally for what you're doing, because with your name and your partner's name and the name of Robbins Kaplan, I think people understand that whatever we go into and whatever you go into, that we have the power behind us with you guys. So I really appreciate that. We need allies everywhere.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on, Robert. It's always great to visit with you. And boy, it sounds like you got a great show today. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Thank you. I need it. Really, thanks a lot. We're talking to Tim Burton of Robbins Kaplan. And up next, Mary Kunish Podine, House Representative. We'll be right back.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States. And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour of free service.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, Matake Ape. It's Representative Mary Kunish Podine, candidate for Senate in District 41. I want to wish you all a happy Valentine's Day. I hope you found somebody to give a little bit of love to and hopefully received a little bit back. So that's Valentine's Day 2020. It was a good week. We started off our state legislative session and are just up and running like nobody's business. I have to tell you, it was especially exciting because I heard my first bill of the session, heard it in State Government Ops with Chair Freiberg, and it was the House File 1346 bill that recognizes the Dakota and Ojibwe languages as the official heritage languages in Minnesota. And we had some good testifiers. We had somebody from Mille Lacs come down. We had somebody from Shakopee come up. And then our Shannon Gieschik from the American Indian, Minnesota Indian Affairs Council came over and testified. And actually, this bill was one of the objectives of her master's program. And so she brought it to me a year or so ago, and we've been working on it. And so we want to congratulate Shannon Gieschik from the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council for a job well done and making this happen for our Dakota and Ojibwe families and communities and language heritage folks here in Minnesota. Today was also the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's March, the red shawl march. It was splitting at the seams at the American Indian Center on Franklin Avenue. You know, the first time I went about 4 years ago, there was a good amount of folks there, and it was positive. Well, now it is just hundreds and hundreds of people. The bus from Chicago with a bunch of young African-American girls who support the effort came up once again. I think this might be their second or third year. Lots of good speakers. The governor and lieutenant governor were out. the Commissioner of Public Safety, because he oversees the Missing and Murdered Task Force, was there. Ruth Anna Buffalo was there in person. We just had a number of wonderful speakers, as well as the singers and the drummers there. I can't tell you how really rewarding it was to see so many folks come out, Native, non-Native, and support the whole feeling of almost redemption for our missing and murdered Indigenous women after hundreds of years of them being invisible, nobody speaking their name, nobody doing anything about it. I believe that this task force that we've created at the state legislature is really going to make a difference. The first report is due out in December of this year, and then the final report is next year, 2021, and that's when we'll have some real recommendations on how to address the issues around the violence against our women and girls, men, boys, and of course our two spirits. But I started out the day over at the Andrew Young Center on University Avenue because I was there for a press release. I was invited to hear about two publications that just came out, two articles that came out through the National Resource Center on Domestic Violence. But we held the press conference over at the new Andy Young Center on University Avenue, which is actually just a beautiful, beautiful building. It has so many resources specifically for our youth. There's it acts as an emergency shelter, especially and specifically for American Indian youth who are homeless, they're runaway, maybe they're in a family crisis and just need a place to stay, or they could even be involved in juvenile corrections. And so it's a short-term crisis intervention with case and system advocacy, and it's a 24-hour emergency shelter for any youth in Ramsey County in the East Metro. But it's the only American Indian youth shelter available to American Indian youth in the whole Twin Cities metro area. It's just a wonderful place. There's a program that's called Our Children Program. I won't try to say it in Ojibwe because I will slaughter it. And they are working with to ground our youth in the Native culture to combat chemical and commercial tobacco abuse, teen dating violence, gang relations, sex trafficking, and other self-compromising behaviors, especially for the youth at risk between the ages of 8 and 17. And then there is the Beverly Benjamin Youth Lodge, and again, culturally grounded transitional living program available to youth between the ages of 16 and 21 who do not have anyone that would act as a parent or a substitute for a parent, or they were in a foster care home and aged out of it. So this intervention program provides so many services to help them make that transition. They also have a street outreach program, which I think is just fabulous. It provides street-based support to any runaways or homeless youth that are not able or not wanting to enter a shelter. And the caseworkers there provide information for those youth on safe housing, some of the basic needs, resources, and health-related issues. And then, you know, the homeless do not have basic resources when they're out on the streets. So their outreach program also provides personal care supplies, food, and access to transportation. And it especially is grounding in that the youth can just drop by and get a hot meal. They can do their laundry. They can shower. And so much of that goes to the self-esteem. And then they have the Stand With People program that's designed to keep American Indian families together. They want them to stay together and do preventative practices, culturally relevant practices, so that they have the knowledge and the skills and the resource that they need to provide that safe, stable environment for their children. And so it's an absolutely wonderful place with absolutely wonderful folks who are running it. And I can't thank them enough for hosting press release this morning. The press release was all around issues around colonization, homelessness, and prostitution, sex trafficking of Native women. And I want to specifically maybe share a little bit about this article authored by Chris Stark from Minnesota and Eileen Houdon. This is published through the National Resource Center on Domestic Violence. And if you want to read this full report, you can go to vawnet.org. So that's vawnet.org. And if you click on their publications, scroll down, there's a bunch of new publications for January 2020. But this one is titled Colonization, Homelessness, and the Prostitution and Sex Trafficking of Native Women. And it really has to do with the connection of historic trauma to our communities, to our Indian population, and how that affects the instability of home ownership and contributes to homelessness. So Chris takes this all the way back to Christopher Columbus when he arrived on this continent, and the brutal rape, enslavement, mutilation, and murder of the American Indians here. And because of that, our communities have lost that anchor, that the roots to the land and to the land relationship. And her article is just fascinating, and she makes that connection between historic homelessness of our Native people and states that it was created through the colonization and the genocide of Indigenous people on this land, and that it's a direct result of the creation of the reservation system. And remember, reservations were moved, the boundaries were moved. Families had to leave states and areas and regions and be clumped into a very specific area that maybe they weren't even familiar with. And this was all accomplished through treaties. Oftentimes, our Indigenous people, our American Indian communities, tribes, had no other choice other than to agree to those treaties. And through all of this poverty, starvation, the diseases that were intentionally implanted in the communities were really very specific and intentional so that the lands could be taken from the Indian. And in this report, it says the attempted genocide of Indigenous people resulted in a 90 to 92% reduction in population. Just an awful, awful number. The article goes on to give so much facts and information and history, and it takes us back to that original article or publication, The Garden of Truth, the Prostitution and Trafficking of Native American Women, back in 2011. And talks about the trauma and invisibility of our communities. It's a painful read, but I think it's one that everybody should read. And what I really appreciate is the actual suggestions or recommendations of what we need to do to ensure that that we are responding effectively to Native human trafficking and survivors, and creating that ability to own a home, to live in a home, the security, because we know that without a stable home, an affordable home, everything else just kind of becomes unhinged. We need a place to go home at night where we know we're going to be safe. It's going to be a stable place, and it's not one that's going to be pulled out from underneath us. So on that note, I know where I'm running out of time. I always do this. But I ended my time over at the American Indian Center in a very unique way because I got to interview Jane Sanders, who is Bernie Sanders' wife. She came to the march today. She spoke with the folks and participated in the march and then offered me the opportunity to ask her a few questions. But that is all of my time for today. I want to thank you all for listening and taking the time to hear about what's going on in our world here in the Twin Cities. And I wish you all a really great weekend and a blessed week. Take care. Wopula Tonka.
Thank you so much, Mary Coonish Pody, House Representative. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
J. Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. J. Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, J. Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be partly sunny with a high near 35. By tonight, increasing clouds with a low around 10. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 23 and a 50% chance of snow at night with a low around 18. Monday, the snow is likely to continue with a high of 32 and a low of 12.
Come join Tom Hartman and his fellow listeners the night before the Blue State Ball, February 22nd. Chat with Tom about all the political issues going on today while enjoying a delightful dinner. Purchase your tickets today. Tickets are only available by calling AM 950. Call 952-946-8885.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm Robert Pilot. This past Friday, we were at the Murdered and Missing Indigenous March, and our weekly correspondent, Ruth Buffalo, spoke. Let's take a listen.
I want to introduce to you another sister in this fight. She is someone I adore and I pray for and think of her often as she just heads into the battle of the North Dakota legislature as the only Native woman to serve there. She deserves our love and our praise and our celebration for her heart and her good work that she's done in North Dakota, but also all across Indian country to ensure that our women are seen and heard and valued. Please give it up for my sister, Representative Ruth Buffalo.
Hello, beautiful people. I'm going to introduce you in my Hidatsa language. I'm originally from Mandaree, North Dakota, and I'm a citizen of the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara Nation. Nido Shadzi Nakhbaga O, Madashi Mia Adachheds, Ma Be Sigids, Ma Zigirads Nakhbaga O. I just want to say thank you, good people, for welcoming my family, my community, my District 27, my tribe into your homelands. It's a beautiful day, and it's a good day today. Ma Be Sigids. I'll be brief. There's so much to share. As you might know, I'm a representative in the state legislature in North Dakota. I'm currently the only Native American serving our state of North Dakota in the House of Representatives. And just yesterday, we had a huge victory, but there's still so much work that needs to be done. But yesterday, the Secretary of State in North Dakota has now to comply with voter IDs for tribal citizens. And that couldn't have happened without all of us working together, being a good relative to one another. And so I just want to say thank you so much for showing up today, for being a good relative to each other, because we know there's so much work that needs to be done to have a stronger, safer community for all of us. I have my daughter here with me. She's a little shy. She's out in the crowd there. I asked her to come up here with me, but she's 17, and she is why I do this work. As many of you know, in August of 2017, a young Indigenous woman went missing, August 19th. Savannah LaFontaine Graywind. She went missing in Fargo, in our backyard, so to speak, right in our community. And many of us were forced to the front lines to search for her. Many of us, moms, sisters, aunts, we never met her before, but she became our little sister. Because many of us are from matrilineal, matriarchal societies, like I am. And many of us, just like you and me, were big sisters. And we have no choice but to take action. So we searched. We were pushed out to the front lines to lead a search and formed a task force after the horrific date of August 27th, which also happens to be my birthday. So I will never forget Savannah LaFontaine Graywin. I will never forget Olivia Lone Bear, a mother of five, who was missing in my homelands of the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara Nation and was found underwater. A young mother, both of these women, young mothers, who had their whole lives ahead of them. And so that is why we work so hard today. We formed a local task force to take action, to get organized, and more importantly, we didn't want to waste time if and when this should happen again. We didn't want to waste time convincing law enforcement that we are human beings and that we deserve rapid response. So through the trauma that we're all so familiar with in our Indigenous communities, we took action, just like you're doing today. And I want to encourage you to take action, to work together, to find solutions. We formed a local task force. We met, rain or shine, the last Wednesday of every month at the Plains Art Museum. After I won my race, The task force gave me a list of legislation that they wanted to see introduced in the state legislature in North Dakota, 6 pieces of legislation. I brought those with me to the state capitol and got them successfully introduced and passed into law. So I share that not to brag at all, but to share the possibilities. Because not until we see these possibilities in front of us, then we know fully that any one of us can do this. Any one of us can do this. But we also need to try to be proactive, get to the root causes, get within these systems and fix these systems to work for us, to honor us as human beings. One of the elders in the task force shared later, she said, you know, we were just thinking we would be happy if one of these were getting passed, would get passed. And I was like, really? But they all focused on protecting our missing and murdered Indigenous relatives, data collection, training for law enforcement, hotels and schools to have human trafficking prevention and awareness, a resolution urging Congress to pass Savannah's Act. And when I hear Savannah's Act today, I was just out in D.C., and to hear people advocating and saying, we need to pass Savannah's Act, it hits home for me, because we were on the ground searching for her, and it's not anything of ego, but it's more than just a name. It's more than just a statistic. It's an entire community and generations that will be impacted from her murder. So I want to say thank you for allowing me to share some words with you today, and I want to encourage you to be a good relative to one another, to lift one another up, to love one another. Anista, Matsagirats Nakbagao. Thank you. Aho.
Pini Gigi, House Representative Ruth Buffalo of North Dakota. We'll be right back after these short messages.
Hey, this is Uncle Curtis Moske Hanajinga from Native Roots Radio. The advertiser you hear on Native Roots Radio, I Am Awake, help us stay on the air. Help us by supporting our wonderful sponsors. Stop in and let them know you heard about them on Native Roots Radio, I Am Awake. You will be helping us as well as helping out the economy by supporting local businesses. For a list of our sponsors, visit our website at nativerootsradio.com.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
So I am here. This is Representative Mary Kunish Podin, and I'm here with Jane Saunders. And she has been our guest here today for the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's March. And I just wanted to ask her a few questions. Jane, can you tell us what were your impressions of this beautiful gathering here today?
It was amazing, Mary. First, it was great marching with you.
Thank you.
And marching with thousands of other people. I mean, the community has come together to call attention to this very important issue. I think it's a crisis, and it is not talked about. I think the impressions I was left with was a sense of community, mm-hmm. a sense of compassion, and that's what we believe in, and it was great to experience it with you today.
Well, thank you for coming to this cold, cold part of the United States.
Yes, it was a brisk walk.
Put roses in our cheeks. And we here in Minnesota were able to pass a task force to study the missing and murdered Indigenous women. We passed that bipartisanly last year mm-hmm. in the Minnesota legislature. I was really fortunate to carry that bill, and I've heard a lot of super sad and traumatic stories, not just contemporary, but in the past. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if maybe in your travels around the United States as part of this campaign, what maybe you have heard in what they're doing in other states around the violence against women and children and men and our two spirits.
Yes, yes. And I'm glad you mentioned men, too, because boys are bullied and men are treated badly as well. It's not just women and girls, but today it's mostly about women and girls on this issue. Violence Against Women's Act has been broadened and expanded over time, and hopefully we'll be able to expand it even more so to be able to support tribal leadership in dealing with these issues and having a way to address crime on their reservations, in their communities, because too often it's done by outsiders and you have no justice. So that's one of the things that I know Bernie is working on. I think that we've gone everywhere and we keep on hearing about it. And I think it's a cultural phenomenon. We need to address the culture of our country.
Yeah.
It can't be one of control. It can't be one of privilege and impunity.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be one of love and compassion and respect. And I think that while we believe movements and change happens from the bottom up, the priorities and the leadership of how we are, how we want to be as humanity,
mm-hmm.
As human beings, has to start at the top. It does start at the top.
Right.
And unfortunately, right now, that's very problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there couldn't be a more clear contrast between the current occupant of the White House and my husband, Bernie Sanders. I think we will be able to deal with getting rid of hatred and bigotry and division and replace it with love and compassion and inclusion. And I think that if somebody as president uses the bully pulpit to foster understanding among all of us for our common humanity, that will go a long way to changing this society. Now, there's a lot of legislation that has to happen right along the way. So congratulations on what you've done in Minnesota. And there are a number of other places in the Dakotas. There's a number of places that have had some success. We need federal legislation that addresses these issues.
Yeah, I am especially hoping that they will reassign or reallocate for the VAWA Act.
Yes.
We know that without those funds and those supports on our tribes, mm-hmm. women and children and the vulnerable mm-hmm. become even more vulnerable. And I hope that this current federal leadership will get that going again. But I'm certain that Bernie will when and if he hits that spot. But the other thing that I was wondering about, what are you hearing about voting and the Native, getting out the Native vote across the nation? We know in the past there's been efforts to suppress and make it more difficult, put those roadblocks in for our communities, especially reservation inhabitants, to get out and vote. What are you seeing or hearing across the nation?
Well, I know that there have been changes to the laws in various states, but voter suppression continues for people of color, marginalized communities, and I think that what we need to do is get the word out there and say, call attention to the voter suppression before Election Day. Get people to pay attention to it, get the media to cover it, and to say, we're voting. What we experienced in Iowa, for instance, the young people under 29 had a 33% increase in voting this time. So what Bernie's campaign is about is not saying, as traditionally has been done, we need to build our base, which means we go to the center. No, we need to expand the electorate and bring more people into the process, the people who have been not, you know, they felt that they made it made no difference. Because with Bernie in the White House, there will be a huge difference. We will transform this country together. We will be able to have everybody's voices heard, the voices that are too often put aside. So we're looking forward to a high voter turnout. If there's a high voter turnout, especially among Native Americans, Latinos, people of color, across the spectrum, young people, we will win. If there isn't, not only will he not win, but we will have missed our moment to change. If you're voting, if you're for the status quo, don't vote then. That's fine, because that's what you'll get. And so my hope is that people listening to this call, this radio station, will absolutely come and say, this is an important time. We have to get the vote out.
Well, we just want to thank you again for coming this frigid Minnesota. It's bright and sunny, and we have good hearts. We have good spirits here, and we just really appreciate you taking time out of your day to speak with us and come and recognize our missing and murdered Indigenous women. So thank you.
Thank you. It was brisk, but it was. I feel warm. I feel the warmth of community was amazing. Thanks a lot.
We'll be right back after these short messages with Hour 2 of Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robinskaplan.com.
My name is Jackie, and I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to the AM 950 KTNF St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
2020 race, coronavirus outbreak. I'm Ann Cates. Democratic presidential hopefuls are campaigning in Nevada ahead of next weekend's caucuses. Correspondent Kyung Law is with Senator Amy Klobuchar in Las Vegas.
She is still saying she is the underdog. Take a listen to what she said at her rally this morning.
When you think of where I came from, there were a lot of people that actually didn't think I was going to make it through that speech in the middle of a blizzard.
And that blizzard that she's talking about is when she announced in Minnesota, today is the first day of early voting. There are 4 days of early voting, 1 week until the Nevada caucuses.
The federal government is chartering aircraft to Japan to bring home hundreds of U.S. citizens who have been on a cruise ship with dozens of passengers infected with the coronavirus. Correspondent Brian Todd.
More than 3,600 people, including hundreds of Americans, are still stuck on the floating disaster zone, otherwise known as the Diamond Princess cruise ship in Yokohama, Japan. More than 200 people on board have been infected with coronavirus, but officials have decided to let off some elderly passengers who tested negative and needed assistance.
67,000 people around the world have been infected with the coronavirus, and in China, where the disease originated, the death toll has topped 1,500. The federal government wants to help pay to fight future wildfires.
The Bureau of Land Management has announced plans to fund 11,000 miles of strategic fuel breaks in Idaho, Oregon, Washington, California, Nevada, and Utah in an effort to help control wildfires. The fuel breaks are intended to help fight firefighting efforts and protect firefighters, communities, and natural resources. They help stop fires by creating breaks in vegetation that slow the progress of a blaze, helping firefighters control the spread of a fire, and can protect homes and resources. The timeline depends on what offices develop plans and apply for funding. I'm John Popp.
I'm Ann Cates.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine, the perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM950 listeners on your next construction project between now and the end of February. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be partly sunny with a high near 35. By tonight, increasing clouds with a low around 10. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 23 and a 50% chance of snow at night with a low around 18. Monday, the snow is likely to continue with a high of 32 and a low of 12.
EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is The Great Wall. The Great Wall Restaurant has been providing a delicious mix of both Szechuan and Peking dishes since 1981. Check out their location just north of 50th and France in Edina.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, couldn't cut it, even.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Hour 2 of Native Roots Radio. This show is dedicated to those who give back and fight back for our people and our beings. We are the resistance. We are awake. All things are our relatives. What we do to everything, we do to ourselves. All is one, Black Elk. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years. She is a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at the state level. Tell us your name, please, Wendy.
Hi, everybody. My name is Hanajihi Hani, and that means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Daga. Today I'm going to be reading from Kitty Block's blog, and Kitty Block is the CEO and president of the Humane Society of the United States, and every month or twice a month she puts out a blog.
And that name too, Kitty.
I know. Okay. I think it's kind of funny that her name is Kitty, and I do mention that that it's kind of ironic that somebody whose name is Kitty is
the
president.
Meant to be.
Exactly. Absolutely. So Robert, on January 21st, 2020, that was the 25th year anniversary since wolves were reintroduced into Yellowstone National Park. And now, 25 years later, they are facing new challenges.
Can you tell us why there was no wolves in Yellowstone Park for 25 years?
Exactly.
Or 25 years ago?
Yeah, 25 years ago, there were no wolves in Yellowstone National Park because of man. Man trapped the wolves, and trophy hunting. So they just went out and decimated all the wolves in Yellowstone National Park. Hmm. And Yellowstone National Park went 70 years without any wolves in the area.
How long was it a park?
I don't know how long it's a park.
Well, how many wolves then were reintroduced, and what happened after they were reintroduced into Yellowstone?
So 25 years ago, they had this great idea to reintroduce 14 wolves that came from Canada. So the wolves were brought in, and almost immediately, the animals began reshaping the landscape. They were regenerating the park's ecological balance and biological diversity, and helping make it more appealing to the millions of people who enjoy it today. What the wolves did was that they actually killed off an overabundance of elk and deer. And the elk and deer were kind of like sedentary animals, and they just kind of stayed in their own little spot, and they just ate the landscape, and they overgrazed. So there wasn't any grass. They decimated everything. The trees weren't growing. It was pretty barren. So what the wolves did was they killed the overabundance of these elk and these deer. And what happened was they kept the deer and the elk moving. Like they would run away and they would hide in different places because the wolves were killing them and eating them. The wolves actually just changed the whole landscape of the Yellowstone National Park. And it was pretty amazing.
So what else have the wolves done for Yellowstone, Wendy?
Well, unbelievable is that people like to look at wildlife. They like to go to Yellowstone to just watch the wolves and to watch the other animals that live there.
From all over the world.
From all over the world, they do. And the wolves provide an economic benefit for the local communities surrounding Yellowstone. And in just 10 years after they were reintroduced, one study found that the presence of the wolves added an estimated $35.5 million to the economy, just for people going there and staying in hotels and eating in the restaurants and visiting.
Getting a wolf bobblehead or something.
Getting a wolf bobblehead, exactly. And this figure, no doubt, has increased since as interest in wildlife watching continues to grow. And there's a video that I've watched over and over again. I'd love everybody to watch it. It's called How Wolves Change Rivers. And it's actually like a little 4-minute, beautiful little video. And it actually shows you this whole process before the wolves, what Yellowstone looked like before the wolves, after the wolves were reintroduced, and then what Yellowstone looks like today because of the wolves. The other thing that wolves do, too, is they take out the sick and the weak animals. This really actually prevents those poor animals from a slow death of starvation. So they're doing those animals a favor. And they also help with traffic accidents. Since the wolves came and they brought down the herds, there's less traffic accidents with cars and elk and deer. So that's what they do too. So that's pretty cool.
So what are the challenges wolves are facing today, Wendy?
Well, you know, with all these benefits that the wolves have in Yellowstone Park, they're still a lot of challenges. So Yellowstone National Park is bordered by 3 states. Do you know the states, Robert?
Montana.
One, yep.
Nebraska?
No.
Colorado?
No.
All right, forget it.
Okay. Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming.
Oh.
So those are the border states around Yellowstone National Park. And the problem is that these wolves don't see the invisible border, right? So they could cross out of the park into the land, into these other states. And as soon as these wolves cross over, there are trophy hunters waiting to take them down. And there's traps around the border. Now, the wolves don't know that they're leaving the park and going elsewhere. They're just, you know, living their lives and being wolves. And a really sad thing happened. The fall of 2018, there was a wolf named Spitfire. And he was also known as 926F. Now, all these people who came to Yellowstone to watch these wolves, they get to know the wolves, right? The wolves have, you know, they have names. They have
certain
they
colors.
Live in packs. Yeah. So this was a really beloved wolf. His name was Spitfire, and he just went over the border out of the park. And what happened to him was he was killed. So it's really sad that happened. And such indiscriminate killing substantially diminishes the ability of millions of people to see these iconic carnivores in the wild. And one study found that wolf sightings in Yellowstone decreased significantly after park wolves were killed in the area adjacent to the park. Other studies have reported similar findings. So less people go there. You know, they don't want to see these animals being killed, and it's really sad. Montana has shown some signs of recognizing the problem and is now poised to take a small step in the right direction. Recently, the Montana Fish and Wildlife Commission proposed reducing the quota of wolves in 2 management areas bordering Yellowstone. So these animals are still being hunted.
It's too bad they can't have a buffer, like 20 miles, 10-mile buffer, yeah, but they're right on the border waiting for them.
They are. They really are. You know, it's really terrible. And HSUS has had a long history of advocating for wolves in Yellowstone and in other locations. 25 years ago, when those 14 wolves arrived in Yellowstone from Canada, HSUS's own Dave Pauly, now senior advisor for response and policy at HSUS, was on the ground rallying public support for the wolves and helping ensure the survival of the newly introduced animals. Recently, HSUS celebrated news of a recent sighting of a pack of wolves in Colorado, marking the first time in recent history that multiple wolves have been traveling together in the state, a positive outcome, no doubt, of the return of the Yellowstone wolves. And one of our great advocates and supporters on our show, Howling for Wolves, are also great advocates for wolves, and they provide lots of education because, I don't know, I think a lot of hunters and trophy hunters just think of these wolves as pests, you know, and just kill them indiscriminately.
Before we go, Wendy, thank you again for bringing this up. And wolves are sacred to Native Americans.
They
And what clan is Peggy Flanagan, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, from?
She's from the Wolf Clan.
That's right. So let's keep an eye on that. And that's
and one day I would like to go to Yellowstone National Park to see these wolves.
As long as you drive, I'm coming with you.
I will drive the RV.
RV. All right. You heard it first here. You're listening, Peeny Gee again, Wendy, for all you do for our sacred animals. And this information is vital for us and for them. Thank you, Peeny Gee, again so much. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
We are a Lusik nation.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour of free service.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect
perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads,
local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options,
beer and wine,
community performance room,
great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We're always happy and excited to hear from Nancy Bolio up north in Bemidji at 350. Welcome back, Nancy.
Well, thanks for having me, Robert. I'm Nancy, and I am from Minnesota 350 here in Bemidji, Minnesota, and I'm the lead organizer for the Bemidji 350 team, and I'm also proud to say I am Minnesota Chippewa Tribe. And today I would like to share the beautiful day that we experienced yesterday, and I'm sure you guys felt it too in Minneapolis. The wonderful Missing, Murdered Indigenous Women's March took place. We had about 200 people, I want to say, maybe more. I don't know, but it seems to be that this event keeps growing more and more every year. Just more and more people show up, and there was red everywhere. There was just beautiful pictures of our lost loved ones, and people gave speeches. But we started the day off with March, and we ended up at BSU, and there was a nice dinner there, and we had some speakers, and we did some round dances, and we danced for our missing, murdered Indigenous women. So it was a really, really powerful day yesterday, and I'm glad I got to take part, and it's something that I think I'm going to do every year from now on. And I encourage people, you know, to keep that alive, not just yesterday, but every day, because we can't ever forget.
What was the temperature up there?
You know, it was just sunny and balmy. We didn't care. It didn't even matter yesterday. So it seemed warmer than the day before is all we knew, because it was like sub below. But yesterday, I think we were around zero. So with the wind chills. It was reading like, I think 17, but with the wind chill, it was probably close to zero because there was a nice wind out yesterday.
Yeah.
But the spirits were warm, and we were just alive with some good energy for our people yesterday. So, yeah, we had a good day yesterday. And there was also a topic about some of our youth had the handprint on their face at the Bemidji High School, and they were suspended from school, and it was considered gang-related activity. So that got some attention yesterday, and yeah, we're going to have some local elected tribal officials intervene on that, and it actually made the news yesterday here in Bemidji, so we have a misunderstanding in the sound. So yeah, some of our Native students. And they're the ones that actually led the march yesterday, those girls that were reprimanded in school. So we were proud for them to lead the march yesterday. So, yeah, it was great to give that space to them yesterday because we felt very honored for them for standing up and making awareness happen in the schools even. You know, that's courageous to do something like that. So we got to follow up with that, and I'll let you know about that more next week. I know they're meeting this Tuesday, and unfortunately we're going to be in Minneapolis for other things, so I won't be able to attend that meeting. So, yeah, Tuesday is our MIAC meeting. That's at the International Riverfront in St. Paul, and Minnesota Indian Affairs Council is 11 tribes, and it's their quarterly meeting, and there's a lot of topics that are discussed. We actually have all of the Minnesota commissioners there, along with the lieutenant governor and or the governor, depends on what their schedules are. But that's the government-to-government relationship. That's where some of that takes place now. So it's really interesting to attend those meetings, and I encourage our Native people to go there and attend, because they're making decisions about us, and it's a good space where you can raise your hand, and they will call on you, and you can ask questions. So there is involvement from the people attending.
What time is that?
That starts at 9 in the morning. It doesn't really say on their website, but we usually... I know it starts in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and it usually goes all day long from 9 to 5.
And where's
it's
that
located?
Where's that located?
The International Riverfront at 11 East Kellogg Boulevard in St. Paul.
Oh, the hotel. Okay. Yeah. A lot of things happening there.
Yeah, they're actually having their Minnesota Chippewa Tribe executive dinner there the night before. So mm-hmm.
Prairie Island owns that hotel.
Oh, I would never have known. So, yeah, we're going to be there for Monday and Tuesday. And then, actually, today I wanted to throw it out there before my time runs out, is that here in Bemidji we're going to do a caucus for climate change at the Rail River Folk School at 303 Railroad Street in Bemidji. And we're going to meet from noon to 4 today. So it's a little of art as well. So we're going to start the day off with social hour from noon to 1. And we're going to have some light refreshments from 1 to 2:30. We have the caucus training. And Grant from MN350 is going to be the one teaching us how to caucus. And then from 2:30 to 4, we thought we'd wrap the day up with some beautiful resistance art. So we're going to make beaded dragonflies, because dragonflies are born of the water.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good way to connect people and keep their hands busy. And so, yeah, we're going to be learning how to caucus for the climate. We encourage our Native people to get out in all of our precincts across Minnesota and show up, because we need to be voices and votes for our people. Our votes, they take our votes, and then they run and hide after they win their election. So what we need to start doing is showing up in these spaces, run for office. And so this gives us strength to be at the table and be a part of this decision-making process. So this is why I encourage people, attend training in your local area, show up as a participant,
mm-hmm.
run for a delegate, and go from there. We were lucky enough to speak for our treaties in 2018 at the state convention. So as of now, we have them on the action agenda in the DFL party, and our goal is to move them onto the main platform, because they are supreme law of the land. So that's why I encourage everyone to get out there, learn how to be a delegate. You don't have to be outspoken. You don't have to be anybody, you know, important, because people think, well, I've never ran for an office or done this and that before. Mm-hmm. When I showed up, Robert, mm-hmm. I was new, knew nothing, and now I'm learning as I keep going, and I highly encourage people to show up, because if we're not there, we are going to be what's being served, and so we have to learn how to play their game, too, and get better at it. So.
Right. Well, Wendy and I have caucused many times, and we plan on caucusing this year. You know, I heard a really great Native person say this saying. It said, if there isn't a chair at the table for us, bring a folding chair. You know,
yes.
That's what we have to do, because we did the Frank LaMere presidential forum months ago, and the statistics out there is if all Native Americans or most of Native Americans vote, they can flip every state.
Right. That is very true, Robert, and that's why I encourage people to show up, because our Native vote can make or break someone's campaign. And if we help someone like, I want to say Walsh had a lot of Native support, and I see there's good things, and if we make those kind of things happen, there's more power to us. And it's not always going to work out right away, you know, like I would say with the Walsh administration, it took a little bit to take off, but mm-hmm. we know him and Peggy are working hard to reach out to the Native communities, and it has to start somewhere. So I give Walt and Peggy Flanagan kudos for taking that big step and making things like this work for us, because without people like that, people like ourselves, delegates showing up, we're never going to be heard, Robert.
That's right. Hey, never. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and you've been just listening to Nancy Bolio up at Bemidji 350. We'll be right back after this short break.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be partly sunny with a high near 35. By tonight, increasing clouds with a low around 10. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 23 and a 50% chance of snow at night with a low around 18. Monday, the snow is likely to continue with a high of 32 and a low of 12.
Come join Tom Hartman and fellow listeners the night before the Blue State Ball, February 22nd. Chat with Tom about all the political issues going on today while enjoying a delightful dinner. Purchase your tickets today. Tickets are only available by calling AM 950. Call 952-946-8885.
Hi, I'm Jane Sanders, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Right now, I'd like us to take back and take a listen to this week, Friday's Murdered Missing Indigenous March in Minneapolis, and we'll be listening to first Governor Tim Walz and then our Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. Let's take a listen.
Good morning, and Bujo. Thank you all for, first of all, this outward display of our shared humanity. Thank you for taking time out of your lives to say that until Minnesota is a place where every single child, every single person, black, white, brown, or indigenous, is seen, heard, valued, and part of this state, we will not be one Minnesota until that happens. And so I want to thank all of you for being here. I also want to acknowledge, as the governor of Minnesota, the acknowledgement and the gratitude that as we stand in this spot and across the state of Minnesota, we stand on the ancestral lands of the Dakota and the Anishinaabe. Those are contemporary lands of the Dakota and the Anishinaabe, and the sovereignty issues that we discuss about are non-negotiable. The sovereignty and the importance of every individual person. And for me to sign the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force law was bittersweet. I'm glad we're able to sign it. I'm glad the public had got there. But it is 2020, and we are still debating the value of every single human being. We're still debating who should be in and who should be out, who is valued and who is not. In Minnesota, until every single one of our daughters, our mothers, our sisters are brought home, we are failing everybody in Minnesota. As we march today and we bring in allies and we talk about how we work together, not for, not giving something, but together, and we lift up those voices, and as you heard the Public Safety Commissioner Harrington talk about, making sure that we cannot rest till every single person's brought home, till every single one. And I know, and you know, we hear a lot about the statistics. Those statistics may be important, but what I heard here, and the most powerful thing is, say their names. Don't forget the individuals. Don't allow them to be part of a statistic that people can talk about, go home to their warm homes, and forget about. Do not allow any individual to be forgotten. In Minnesota, it's who we are. We know we've got a long ways to go. We know that the historical trauma that's been caused needs to be dealt with. We know that we can't talk about education of our children unless we talk about that historical trauma until we put teachers in front of our children who look like our children, who talk like our children, who know their history. Our children, when they go to school, should know their identity. They should read their authors and know their culture and their history. Those are the things that we can do together. And the one thing I know when I look across this room and I see the people who've come to this stage, there's a time to know when you're an ally, and there's a time to step back and let people lead. Indigenous women have led from the beginning of time. This is not something new. And here in Minnesota, we have one such leader. Please join me in welcoming our Anishinaabe sister, our Lieutenant Governor, Peggy Flanagan.
Everybody. This room is full. It is full. And that to me just speaks volumes about the fact that more and more people are in this fight with us shoulder to shoulder to ensure that our Native women and girls, our Two-Spirit community, that we are of value, that we deserve to be seen and heard and protected. And I look forward to the day when we gather in this same room and we can say that every single woman, every single girl, every single member of our Two-Spirit community has been protected, that there is no longer this epidemic, and we are here to simply dance and march and celebrate. But until that day, we're going to keep showing up and we're going to keep doing the work. So right now, I want to just lift up and celebrate the work of Representative Mary Kunesh Poudin, who authored the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force Bill. And that we did not allow in the last legislative session for Native women to become bargaining chips. We simply said that this bill must be passed cleanly, and simply must be passed, and it happened. Now, the next fight that is ahead of us is when the task force comes forward with their recommendations about really investing in our people and investing in our communities and doing what needs to be done across the state of Minnesota, both from the state side, but also from local governments and municipalities and tribal governments, that people say yes. Yes, our people are worth investing in. Yes, our Native women are worth protecting. So are y'all going to show up for that fight too? That's right. The reality in this moment is that the fact that we are all still here speaks to the resiliency of so many of our ancestors. I recently lost my father, Marvin Manypenny, or Nijo Benishi. And one thing that my dad said over and over and over and over, and he taught me, and that I will teach my daughter and my cousins and my nieces and nephews, is that the right to govern ourselves, the right to our sovereignty, is completely and indisputably ours. And as we march today, that means the right to the sovereignty and to govern our own bodies and lives is completely and indisputably ours. Every single day, I walk into the Capitol building, and I think about being in that space that was not created by us or for us, but too often was created to eliminate us. And so when I walk into that building, I take two breaths, one deep breath, to just acknowledge the responsibility of being in that space. But the second breath that I take is one of protection. Because as an Indigenous woman moving through this world, we deserve and we need protection. So I am grateful that you are here. Jimmy Gwish, for the work that you have done. Nicole, thank you for your leadership, your tireless advocacy. Work that we will continue to do together to ensure that the Violence Against Women Act is passed again in Washington, D.C. And that Savannah's Act is also passed in Washington, D.C. It is time.
right back after these short messages.
Hey, this is Uncle Curtis Moshe Hanajinga from Native Roots Radio. The advertiser you hear on Native Roots Radio, I Am Awake, help us stay on the air. Help us by supporting our wonderful sponsors. Stop in and let them know you heard about them on Native Roots Radio, I Am Awake. You will be helping us as well as helping out the economy by supporting local businesses. For a list of our sponsors, visit our website at nativerootsradio.com.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. God, we are really excited to have Robert Lilligren with us as a weekly contributor or biweekly, and I got to see Robert yesterday, and I know there's things happening on Franklin Avenue. Robert, can you tell, remind our audience what you do?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Robert, and thanks for having me. I appreciate it. So I work at Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI. We're an asset-based community development agency located right on East Franklin Avenue. We suffer the community vision of an American Indian cultural corridor on Franklin Avenue. And one of our projects is that we own and operate All My Relations Arts Gallery.
Mm-hmm. And that's a powerful gallery. And what you had some things going on yesterday, too. Can you tell our audience a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure thing. And it was great seeing you yesterday, Robert. It was such an empowering day, powerful day standing with community. And one of the things we had going on in our gallery, All My Relations Arts, our gallery director, Angela Two Stars, who has been curating the Bring Her Home shows at All My Relations Arts, and all this will be her third year. And that show has just been so powerful from the first year. It sort of took itself on a tour, and Angela stayed connected to it. And she developed curriculum around the issues of missing and murdered indigenous women. And yesterday, during the right after the march, Angela had some high school students in the gallery, and she was presenting this curriculum to them.
Wow, that's exciting to get the art curriculum and the Native American curriculum out there for the public to devour. We need to do that. I just see so much appropriation when it comes to like going to Target and seeing, oh, wow, that's a Native design. So it's really
right.
Powerful.
It is, and Angela really felt the need to create this curriculum because everywhere the show toured, the Bring Her Home show, people wanted to know more. There was a demand or a need for more information, for curriculum, for programming. It's really something. It's almost like a movement. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, All My Relations Arts will be hosting the next installment of the Bring Her Home show. It's called Sacred Women of Resistance. The call for artists is out right now. You can check out the All My Relations Arts website for that. And the show runs from May 5th to July 5th this year.
Wow. And I've experienced many art shows that you have, and they are very powerful. And there's mixed artists. There's things, but it's done by Native Americans.
Right, contemporary Native art, and our gallery, like all of NACD's initiatives, has capacity building built right into it. And so it's capacity building for Native arts professionals, for Native artists, and this show is the same. We'll have a new, young, emerging curator for the show, and the space has just become sort of us, the spot, or one of the primary spots for contemporary Native art. And of course, a lot of the world, a lot of the country view Native people as something in the past, as being, you know, historical, not really right. relevant today. And so focusing on contemporary Native art really gives us a chance to define the Native identity in the 21st century.
Yeah, and it's just great that you can bring that out to the public. And it is inspiring and exciting. You know, one of the things I'd like to touch base with you the last few minutes of the show is how powerful was yesterday.
The
Murdered, Missing Indigenous march and rally. It's hard for me because, Robert, it's like I see so many people that I know, and it's almost a great get-together. There was 2,000-3,000 people there, but it's also a somber get-together.
It is somber, and I was there with Angela Two Stars, our gallery director, and after the program, she said, yeah, I'm going back to the office to smudge. You know, it really feels that way, but it's somber, but it's powerful, and it's a fact that Native women and girls and Two-Spirit people are much more at risk, much more vulnerable to this kind of violence, and so standing up, stating that as a community, and then moving to do something about it and to end it. It was just an amazing event. The speakers were amazing. I was super impressed with Commissioner Harrington, the state safety commissioner, and his really powerful and passionate statement about we're one community and we're going to stand together and end this. It was really moving. And then considering it was 0 degrees outside.
Right. I didn't recognize you marching there. You're all bundled up.
It's like a whole new community. But that it was more people, I'm sure, than last year. It grows every year. NACD and All My Relations is a partner in the community art build that created some of the images that you saw in the parade the march yesterday. So it's empowering. Yes, it's a sad and somber fact, but it's empowering to stand up with community like that.
Well, it was exciting for me to see a lot of people and see some of the politicians I haven't seen in a while. But what struck me was when Nicole asked for people to shout out names of people that were missing.
Oh, yeah. That was really something.
Kind of brought it back, you know.
Totally. And if people were saying, interesting, you know, it was silent for a while, and then one name was shouted out, then another, and then it was just like an avalanche of names. Yeah, that really touched me.
Yeah, and it brought me back to where what it was all about. And again, because it's almost celebratory, too, because I see a lot of people I haven't seen. My daughters were with me, and that brought us right back to where we were supposed to be, I think.
Right. And that's why we're doing this, right? For the next generations. And so it's wonderful that you can have your family around you there.
Exactly. Well, you got anything here in the last minute here before I end this show? This has just been an unbelievable jam-packed show, and I'm glad that you're on it, too.
Thanks. Just one little reminder, though, this is an important election year. It's also an important events this year. There's lots of ways to be involved. If folks want to be involved in the Native community here, they can go to the Native American Community Development website. We have our Voice Voting a Tradition, our Census 2020 efforts. This is very important. Every vote counts. Every person counts.
I love that, and I'd like to bring that up a couple times during each show because that's how important it is. Because our vote really does count, and the statistics really show that we could flip some states very easily if we go out and vote.
Yep, there are seven states where we can be the swing, and it's 77 electoral votes. So the Native vote really does count.
Right, and every year. So thank you, Robert Lilligren, for all you do for us and our Native community.
Thank you, Miigwech.
I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to the show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I've been your host, Robert Pilot. The revolution is kicking into high gear, and I would like to thank all my listening audience, our sponsors, and especially our guests, which make this show. If you are listening to this show, you are the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.